included also. One of the questions that if you've had any experience with homosexuality, a natural question that comes out of it, which is our next one, is I've heard you can be born homosexual. Is that true? And so instead of narrowing it on just homosexuality, what we're going to do is broaden it way out and say, I've heard you can be born, insert whatever you want to there. Is that true? And we're going to walk through that. And so we're going to put up a bunch of Bible passages that are going to help this come together for us. Psalm 51, 1-5 says, have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgression. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgression and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. Here's a key verse for us. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in my sin did my mother conceive me. And so saying, this David saying, from the moment I was born, sin dwelled in me. Ephesians 2, 1-3 says, and you were dead in the trespasses and sin, in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we also once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. And so in the born this way question, we've got 5 points that we say that all of us are brought forth with a desire to sin, that without Jesus we walk according to that sin, that we live in the passion and desire of that sin both in our body and in our mind, that therefore by our nature we deserve the judgment of God because we have sinned, and as a result of sin that we are dead in trespasses and sin. And so the scriptures will say, sin isn't something on the outside trying to get in to you. Sin is something in you that works itself out in a lot of different ways. And the book of Romans shares this again. We followed up with some initial verses. Here's what 28-32 says. And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. Here's the list. They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Though they know God's righteous decree that those who practice such things deserve to die, they not only do them, but give approval to those who practice them. And so we're going to put this whole list up there and saying that every one of us can be born to any of the things on this list. Unrighteousness, meaning not living according to God's decrees. Evil, I think that that's pretty easy. Coveting, meaning desiring the things that are not yours. Malice, which is just like a kind of a vengeful response towards people. Envy, desiring those things and kind of saying, I deserve that. Murder, I feel like that's pretty explanatory. Strife, that's causing conflict. Deceit, which is anytime you're misleading somebody. So notice it didn't say lying. So anytime you're being misleading. Malicious, so responding in a malice way. Gossiping, slandering, speaking bad on people. Haters of God. Insolent and haughty. Haughty is just being puffed up, like you're just big and bad and hot stuff. Boastful, bragging on yourself. Inventors of evil, so in case it didn't fall into the list, there you go. Disobedient to parents, everyone in the room's favorite one. Foolish, faithless, heartless, and ruthless. I feel like all those explain themselves pretty well. And then homosexuality was referenced earlier and falls into that list. So then when each of those kind of come together, it means that there is a desire or there could be a disposition in each of us that works itself out in any number of ways. And so Ephesians 2, 1-3 gives us the diagnosis that we are born into that. Ephesians 4, 2, 4-10 is the cure for that, which we're going to put on the screen. And it says, but God being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It's the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And so what the Bible says in all of this is our response is not, let's just start crossing off all the list of the ways that we're born and just trying to in some way get rid of that thing. What the Bible says, God's rich in mercy through Jesus, and in Jesus, all of those things get dealt with. And so even for those of you who are Christians who have been walking out, man, how do I get past this or how do I get past that? Get Jesus, and he gets past all of that stuff. When you try to get things on your own and try to cross off your list of morality, you're never going to get to the point where you've crossed off everything on the list. But when you get Jesus, Jesus deals with the whole list and then causes you to start to live like Jesus. And so one of the things we're going to consistently, frequently, and all the time say is we're not going to preach to you, stop doing this, stop doing this, stop doing this, stop doing this. We're going to say, fall radically in love with Jesus and you'll stop all that. That naturally out of a relationship with Jesus, all of those things are going to find themselves working out because instead of sin dwelling in you, Christ dwells in you. And that's going to be the way we hold that way. So can you be born that way? Absolutely. But in Jesus, all of those things that even we're born to can be dealt with under the cross of Christ. So if you've got alcoholism in your family, you feel like, man, I feel like I'm just born this way. Jesus deals with that. If you feel like you got anger in your family, Jesus deals with that. If you got drug addiction in your family, Jesus deals with that. If you're overly sexual because of your family, Jesus deals with that. There's not a thing in the genetic line that Jesus doesn't have the ability to deal with. And so I'm going to, again, throw it to our panel. If you have questions, you can feel free to text those in. But we'll kind of let our panel jump in however they feel led.
I think we're still on here. You know, basically what I wanted to talk about more, it's not really a testimony to my own self, but just the realization that I lived this. You know, I was born a son of Adam. You know, I was born a sinner. And I lived a life of a sinner for a very long time. I was not in church when I was a teenager. I did not come to know Jesus until I was in my 20s. So I can go through this list, and I shed tears for each one of these things pretty closely. But I know that when I accepted Christ as my Savior and I was born again, all of this was buried. It's my old life, and I know that I am saved because of his grace. And, you know, I thank God that I have other Christians to talk with, because I still have problems with sinful thoughts and sinful manners, but I realize that every day whenever I renew my faith in Christ and I think of all the things that he has done for me, that I don't want to be this way. I want to be with him. I want to live my life the way that it was meant to be, because it's just so special. So that is one thing that I want you to realize, is that whenever you start actually feeling that it doesn't matter what other Christians tell me. If they tell me that the behavior that I have is not consistent with what I should be doing, I am going to listen. You know, my feelings should not be what you should be concerned about. My life in eternity should be what you should be concerned about.
Anybody else?
I would like to say that I definitely agree. You can be born kind of bent towards homosexuality, but I would say just as following Jesus is a choice, it's also your choice how you want to live your life and, you know, what you want to do with your life. Because I would say if you start now at this young age in your life, if you struggle with any one of these sins, which guaranteed there's one thing on here that you could look at and say, oh, yeah, I deal with that. If you start now disciplining your thoughts, I think it would be a great reward to you later in life if you don't have to go through all this stuff that we've been talking about. But I would just say that, I think it is certainly a choice. I know the friends that I've had, a lot of them were raised in church and kind of knew already that Jesus loved them and died for them. But they still made a conscious decision to start living a homosexual lifestyle, every single one. And I'm sure with all of your friends, every single one of them have made a choice. And so, I mean, that's just a testimony to say that we have to honor God in every single choice that we make, not just in some of them. So,
Someone asked the question, then why then are people putting up signs that say God hates gays? That's why there's war. If you've walked around downtown Springfield at all, you've probably seen that sign. If you follow the news at all, there's a church in Kansas that's much more aggressive in their language about it. Here's, in as nice a way as possible, I can say is because they're jerks. That's why they make signs like that. When it speaks of things that God hates, the book of Proverbs is a place where it lists some things that God hates. It's Proverbs 6, 16 and 19, if you want to go there later. Homosexuality is listed there. And so you're not going to find places where God goes, yep, hate that guy, hate that guy, hate that guy, hate that guy. Because I hate that thing so much, you know what I'm going to do? Cause war. Like, I just don't, and when you read the scriptures, you don't see God respond that way. And so I think that that's an easy place for us to